Welcome back, or welcome to the Credible Teacher Podcast. My name is Mike. I'm your host. If you don't like my voice, I would suggest just turning it off right now because that's all you're going to hear. Okay. So here we go. Here's a quote for you. If a teacher is not perceived as credible, the students just turn off. This is a quote from John Hattie. He's a world-renowned researcher in education. This podcast is a podcast where I document my journey to discover what I can do to prevent my students from turning off. It's not a fancy podcast. I typically use my phone, an Anchor podcast. I'm using my computer right now to experience or to document the experience as it relates to being a teacher, one that thinks he's credible. Okay, but you're going to have to talk to my students about that. I appreciate you tuning in. Again, thank you so much. Keep on listening. Hey everybody, happy Thursday. Well, I guess that's for me because I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but regardless, I wanted to document a thought I had about, or after I went in and read some books at my oldest son's school. So they wanted to volunteer to read some Mo Willems books because it was his birthday on Monday, February 11th, I believe it was. And we had a couple books at home of Mo Willems, but so I went to the library, picked out 10 of them and went in and was there about 30 minutes and I read, I think, 7 or 8 of them. And while I was reading, and I want you to know the age range here. If I'm correct, the age range is roughly 2.5 to 3 years old to, I think the oldest child was probably 7, but in that range, okay? And so I'm sitting at this little chair on this rug and reading these books. And my oldest son was there too, which was, it was cool. I want to do that. I want to try to do that more. But so as I was reading the books, I was observing what was happening. So there were students, children right by my feet that were, you know, looking at the book. Most of them, a majority of them were really focused, looking at the pages. Most of them were pretty quiet, weren't making comments about it. Some children were standing up and then getting in the way of others, and then classmates would have to tell them to sit down. One of the teachers was sitting in the back on the rug, and there was a child or two sitting on her lap. There were children that were walking around, and the teacher was making comments to them about, you know, if you can't sit down, please, you know, move your body, just please be over here so you don't get in the way, you know. And then there was a couple students that were shouting out things from the book that I was reading. It ran the gamut. I think that's how they say it. So that experience, going in there for that 30 minutes, which I had gone in before, but I don't know if it was before the podcast or not or anything like that. But regardless, I've been in there before. But as I was reading the books and then I left, I was thinking to myself how similar the experience I just had reading these picture books to 3 to 7 year olds in this classroom was, how similar that experience was to what I experience as a sixth grade teacher. And then I was thinking about just people in general, you know, and the thing I wrote down on my little post-it when I was thinking about this, because this happened earlier in the week, and I was like, gosh, shit, I have to podcast, I have to record this, because it was kind of a mini epiphany to me. And the thing I wrote down on my post-it note was, people are people are people. And to me, what I mean by that is, like, everybody's so similar, but yet so different at the same time. And just like that classroom where I read these books, and we had a couple students doing this and a few students doing that, a majority of the students doing one thing, certain students by the other teacher, you know, like, and then I think about the experience that I've had as a classroom teacher, and then just observing people in society, and just understanding, having like a better understanding of the fact that everybody is in different places, everybody has different needs, and that's a constant, and that's something that is, I mean, I don't know, who knows, but it's not going to change, you know, and that's just part of, it seems like just a part of life. Everybody's at just at different places. And so for me, when I think about what that means for my role as a teacher, and I mean, as just another human being, for me, it takes a lot of the, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but to me, it takes a lot of pressure or judgment out of the equation when I look at where people are at. And I really have to reflect on me personally, thinking about where I was when I was 11 and 12 years old, how obnoxious I might have been. You know, like everybody's just at different spots. And what's really interesting to me is just the personalities and who we are as individuals. And how, you know, you can have a certain type of personality because that's who you are. That's what makes you who you are, me who I am. And that personality is already presenting itself, as you know, as a teacher, and if you're a parent, you certainly know that. These personalities that we have and what makes us who we are shows itself from a very, very young age. And that is something that's the way it is, regardless of where we are in life. It's just how it goes. And so, if I think about that, this idea of humans are humans are humans, or people are people are people, and think about us as classroom teachers, or me as a classroom teacher, and where students are at, and how stressful it can be when students aren't doing a certain thing that we really want them to be doing, or they're struggling with that, or they're causing this to happen in the classroom, and why can't they just do that? I mean, the possibilities and the frustrations are really endless when you think about our role as, you know, from a classroom management standpoint. And one of the things that I've kind of come to understand and reflect on is the idea that we are not, or I am not going to, quote unquote, fix anybody. And that's not my responsibility or role as a teacher. And it doesn't mean that the behaviors that I observe and have to react to are not frustrating. It doesn't mean that it's not hurtful to myself or the students' peers. It doesn't mean that they're not negatively impacting their own lives or the lives around them. It doesn't mean any of those things, but for me as a teacher, it gives me this perspective, at least, gives me gives me the ability to, if I'm mindful enough, to come from that place, but it gives me the ability to meet that student where they're at more consistently and not necessarily judge them for the choices that they're making, because this is just where they are in life as a result of, I mean, a ton of things. And a lot of it has to do with the environment that the student was in and growing up, you know. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just that's the reality of the situation. We are, as humans, from what I've gathered and from what I've experienced, we are, a large part of who we are has a lot to do with the environment that we are in. And I mean, I don't think it takes a super smart person to figure that out, you know? Like, if we just reflect on, I mean, our own lives, you know? If you reflect on the environment that you were raised in your house or houses, and how that shaped how you and I view the world right now. It just plays such a huge role. And so for me as a teacher, if I lose sight of that, or if I'm not aware of this very, I don't know if I want to say basic, if I am not aware of this really basic, maybe even commonsensical understanding that our environment creates a lot of the way that we are living our lives, then it's very easy for me to judge a student based on their choices if I don't take into consideration where they're coming from, or just the idea that they are viewing life in a different way than I am, and that's okay. It's not right or wrong. It's just what's happening. And how can I, as a teacher, do a better job to meet them where they're at? And I'll be the first one to admit that I need to get better at this and want to get better at this. And I mean, I try. I think all teachers really try. I think a majority of teachers try, because we're here for the, you know, right reasons, very altruistic. I say that a lot in the podcast. But the reality is, it's hard to do that all the times because we're all humans, you know? But it doesn't change the fact that that's what's really happening, at least from my perspective, based on what I'm experiencing. And me going in that classroom and reading those books to those 3 to 7-year-olds and seeing the behaviors, or just seeing how what students were doing at that point in time, and then reflecting on what I experienced in sixth grade, and then just observing people in general. People are people are people. And we're not necessarily going to change anybody, and I don't think that's necessarily our job at all. But I don't know. It seems like sometimes that's what we're kind of tasked to do, you know, is do things to make sure that this student is doing more of their homework, or, you know. And that's a really hard position to be in, because I think, and I say this a lot in the podcast, I can't make anybody do anything. I can provide opportunities for people and students, but I can't make anybody do anything. So, without a negative consequence, or without a backlash or something else. So thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate that. I hope that was of value to you in some way, shape, or form. And if it was, and if that perspective is something that you value and that you appreciate hearing, if you could share it with somebody else that might feel the same way, that would be fantastic. Have a great day. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate that. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and thecredibleteacher.com if you want to check me out for more stuff. Thank you very much. Take care.